For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to The First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon, and with me is NFL draft analyst and my good friend Ryan Roberts. And draft season, it's almost done. The 2024 NFL draft is almost here. And to kick off draft week, we're doing our final mock draft. Now, why do I feel like we're going to put this out? There's going to be some crazy trade that's going to blow the whole damn thing up. Regardless, we're going to do our best to predict and not predict, but evaluate how we think the first round should play out. I don't think
so. We're not making this a predictive mock. We're not making it predictive.
Let's do more analysis. Do you want to do predictive? Does predictive make sense in this situation?
I mean, I feel like the last mock draft of draft season should be predictive because that's where like intel comes into conversation. Like people want to know what the actual landscape is going to look like. They don't care as much about our analysis anymore at this point. Like, they want to know what's going to happen.
Okay.
Now. You know what I mean?
All right. Let's do We're doing predictive then.
Let's do it.
So, we're doing a predictive mock draft based on what we've heard and what we think is going to come to fruition in the 2024 NFL draft. We're going to do our typical back and forth on picks. I'm going to start us off with the easiest one, Caleb Williams being the Chicago Bears' first overall pick. No shock there. I think that this has been one of the worst kept secrets I can't even call it that. We know who's the first overall pick. We know who's the best prospect, the best quarterback, who's going to fit the best in here. So Caleb Williams, first overall Chicago Bears.
Yeah. There's no secret behind it anymore. That hasn't been a secret for like a couple months. People know who Caleb, even before Justin Fields wasn't traded, we knew it was going to be Caleb. Like everyone did. They just pretended like the Justin Fields people just wanted to pretend like it wasn't going to be right, that they were going to trade down, whatever. But anyway, number two, Joe, you were trying to convince me before the meeting happened that the Washington Commanders were going to trade down for some insane reason, but we're going to go and stay here because that's what's going to happen. I'm just busting balls, obviously. Washington Commanders, I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, man. Just do. I know that there's the Drake May stands, and hey, if they win Drake May, I wouldn't necessarily say anything against it because I think he has the higher upside of a Jaden Daniels. There's just, for whatever reason, man, it just feels like it's going to be Jaden Daniels, Washington Commanders at number two. Feels like it.
Okay, so I would like to include trades with this. I don't want to go rampant with them, but I feel like one of the things that has been picking up steam but hasn't necessarily come to fruition is the Patriots trading out of this three spot. This is something that you and I had talked about with some folks when we were at the NFL Combine, that it might seem like that they're better in this position to try and build the roster before they take a quarterback that they're not really in love with. And when you're the third one picking of the top three, it puts you in that position. So the Minnesota Vikings, let's say that they jump up to this number three spot. I'm just going to throw in a bunch of random picks so that they say yes.
That's not how this works. It's not how this works.
Well, I'm going to offer trade. Trade accepted. Whoa, look at that. obviously, that's not how that works, but how stupid would it be if we're sitting here being like, oh, they declined it. We're going to have to offer another trade. I think that if they do move up to three, the McCown to May connection is very obvious. Now, I feel like that they do like JJ McCarthy, but it just makes so much more sense with that connection. I think both, if you're going for a toolsy, projectable developmental guy, a guy that might need a year until he really figures it out, you might as well go with somebody who has a little bit more tangible, better evidence of what that ceiling is. So Drake May would be my pick there at number three.
Yeah, that's going to be a fascinating one because the third quarterback off the board, I feel like it's probably going to be Drake May, but I wouldn't discount JJ McCarthy. I just wouldn't. Yeah. Minnesota for some reason, JJ McCarthy team too. But yeah, it's a conversation for another day, I guess, right? Arizona Cardinals. Very interesting one, Joe. I feel like they get to go offensive tackle, even though they signed Jonah Williams. I don't think that Jonah Williams stops you from taking the best offensive tackle if you don't want to. But I do think that the most obvious fit is Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State. And that's kind of the one that it's kind of been a boring pick because it's usually the Cardinals that take the first wide receiver off the board at pick number four. I wouldn't be shocked if they were necessarily a trade back partner in this spot either, but I'm going to have him staying pat and drafting who some consider to be the number one player in the entire draft, and Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's go with him at four here on the Cardinals.
I love them getting a weapon. I think that if this situation happens where the Vikings trade up, they go get Drake May, I think that there is then going to be a collective panic that occurs to try and move up and go get JJ McCarthy. Now, I was thinking, you know what's actually really kind of crazy? I was going to do the Chargers trade, but now that I think about it, that's not going to happen. Because the two most likely teams to then trade up for JJ McCarthy are the Denver Broncos or the Las Vegas Raiders. Those are the only teams that like really need a quarterback. And then the Giants, maybe they could move up because JJ McCarthy is still on the board.
They can move up one spot to make sure no one jumps them for the New York Giants. I mean, that's possible.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they're smart, they're going to realize why the heck would unless the Chargers did their homework on JJ McCarthy. None of that makes sense because Jim Harbaugh likes JJ, and then he's going to realize that he doesn't want him in the division, that kind of stuff.
Here's the wild card, though, is that the other team that I wouldn't necessarily discount as a trade-up partner is the New Orleans Saints at 14. I think that they could be in the conversation as well because they're running it back with Derek Carr, and I don't know if they're necessarily sold in Derek Carr being the future. But again, if you want to keep him at five, I mean, best wide receiver available, right?
I'm going to keep him at five. Let's go with Malik Nabers being the pick for the Chargers. They cleaned house at receiver, and they are a team that is in desperate need of weapons. So Malik Nabers is going to be a highly productive rookie, having the best quarterback situation potentially of Justin Herbert delivering him the football.
I'm going to say something that's kind of funny. I think that the New York Giants might actually prefer if someone did trade up in front of them to draft a quarterback, because I think that they would rather take Malik Nabers at six if he was just staring at him in the face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's a question. You're a Giants fan, right? I know I'm making the pick, but here's a legitimate question. Quarterback, JJ McCarthy, or to the New York Giants say, I want to make sure that I get my wide receiver and take Roma Dunes at six? You don't think that that's in the cards? You don't think it is?
I don't think it's outlandish.
Is it outlandish?
It's not. I think if they don't take JJ, it sounds like they're obsessed with JJ. But also part of this could be trying to generate obsession so that they can create this scenario of
the next team
that wants a quarterback. Yeah, trade up with me. Ooh. So I think if they don't take JJ, they're going to trade out. So do you want to look at trade candidates?
Yeah, let's look at trade candidates. That's an interesting one. I haven't thought about the Giants as a trade back candidate, but if it plays out like this, they very well might be. They very well might be.
Well, it was reported on by somebody yesterday that they're eyeing to trade back. So that this isn't one.
Everyone is quote unquote eyeing to trade back this time of year, though. Like all that whole conversation. All right. So the question is, if you're the Denver Broncos and Las Vegas Raiders, who we've talked about as probably the two most likely trade up candidates for right now, right? You would rather trade with the Raiders, right? Because you're technically going to get a little more back because they have further up to go from 13 to 6 rather than 12 to 6, right? I mean, that's the team that you would rather trade. But actually, no, you could probably take advantage of Denver, right? Because they're probably going to be desperate. I mean,
let's not overthink this.
Jared Stidham, right? Isn't Jared Stidham their quarterback right now? I mean,
so why don't we do Denver?
Yeah, let's do Denver. We got to do Denver. Okay. Yeah, let's do Denver.
All right. And we'll throw in their first round next year, and then we'll call it a day. And then that's a similar deal to the Justin Fields trade. So then I assume JJ.
I mean, it has to be. Who else would it be? You know? Yeah. We're going to take Penix at six.
It would be Joe Milton at number six.
Okay, Daniel Kelly.
Number seven, the Tennessee Titans. I think that this one is one of the easy connections, connect the dots to make, is that if Joe Alt's still on the board, their offensive line situation is very unsettled, but it's improving. The, you know, their offensive line is getting better. We all love Joe Alt. We all acknowledge that this is a premier tackle, and he could be an immediate All-Pro. It would be bonkers to see Alt and Skoronski in the same offensive line. So Joe Alt kind of build a...
On the same side, too, man. I mean, look, like there's some picks that people are just going to call boring, and that's one of them. But also, Joe, like the most likely outcome is a lot of times right. You know what I mean? Like they just they don't have an offensive tackle right now. They can take a guy to play left or right tackle right now, and it would be a potential upgrade at number seven. So, yes, Joe, seven, I think, makes a lot of sense. Atlanta, I'm buying into the hype, Joe. Buying in. They're taking Dallas Turner, man. I believe it. Believe it in my bones. I know that they've been burned in the past with an athletic pass rusher in a similar vein of Vic Beasley, although I think Dallas Turner is a much better prospect than Vic Beasley was coming out of Clemson, right? They're playing a 3-4 base alignment. They're more looking for a rusher. I prefer, if we're just talking about an edge ranking, I prefer Jared Verse, but Jared Verse is not a 3-4 stand-up. He's a 4-3 hand-in-the-dirt defensive end. So in that vein, I think that they would really like Dallas Turner. I do buy that hype for the Atlanta Falcons at 8.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts. Number nine overall pick, the Chicago Bears, as soon as they get Caleb Williams. It seems like the best thing that they can do is try and get one more receiver. So Keenan Allen and then DJ Moore have been... are obviously the premier players, but imagine if you threw Rome Odunze into the mix. That would be an unbelievable starting offense for a rookie quarterback to step into. So I'm going to completely buy into this thought that adding one more playmaker is going to help the Bears take that next step.
And I think it makes a lot of sense with Odunze. I mean, the other guy, I don't think Brian Thomas is going to go quite as high at nine, but that's their style, though, that they need. They have Keenan Allen, who's that short intermediate separator from the slot. They have DJ Moore, who's a little bit of an inside-outside guy, but a lot of work after the catch and with dynamic ball in his hands. They don't really have a guy that's a true vertical separator like Rome Odunze can be with his length and athleticism. So I think that one makes a whole lot of sense. That trio, dude, we were talking about the Bears sucking at wide receiver last couple of years. All of a sudden you have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze. That's pretty good. Sign me up for the Caleb Williams Rookie of the Year ballot, man. Sign me up for that one. Number 10, New York Jets.
Two guys, Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers and Talisi Fuanga is the other guy of Oregon State offensive tackle. I know they're obsessed with Fuanga. I know that they like him a lot. I will opt for Brock Bowers because I just think at the end of the day, the media has just been kind of overlooked or underappreciating Brock Bowers the last couple months, just not talking about him nearly a month enough. This kid is a potential generational football player, man. He's dynamic. He can do everything that you need at the tight end position, run the seam, play different alignments after the catch work. The kid is a top three player in this class, and I think that number 10 overall makes a lot of sense to New York Jets.
So now, but yeah, and I'm not going to question that at all. I really believe that their final missing piece, because they went and got Mike Williams, is either a receiver or a tight end. So like Brock Bowers, adding him into the mix, and if he's healthy as a rookie, that's a playoff team. I'm going to be aggressive in making that statement. The Patriots now, them trading back, I think really creates some commotion in the first round.
Yeah,
I'm thinking to myself, okay, go and get a receiver. But before they go receiver, I'd really love for them to start to bolster their offensive line and then them take a receiver with potentially the picks that they just added. They've got the 23rd overall pick later. So why not be ambitious and figure out your offensive line situation? Talisi Fuanga is the perfect building block.
before you lock it in. You already locked it in. So forget it. No, no, forget it. You already locked it in.
What was the suggestion?
I was going to say that there's been this conversation about Troy Fatanu and if he's a tackle or if he's a guard. Well, if he's a tackle, he fits what the Patriots like, a tackle, like with the Isaiah Wynn types, right? So that was only going to be my suggestion, but hey, Tsitsi Fuanga at number 11 is more than good enough of value.
Yeah, give me a mauler for that right tackle spot, and then they can take a huge step forward.
All right, New York Giants. So we had the Giants trading back, right? So they were a trade back candidate in this one. So you still need wide receiver, quarterback. Yeah. There's no quarterback there. Offensive line, like, they... Man, I feel like interior is not that terrible for the Giants, right? Like, they need to figure out if Evan Neal is their dude at right tackle or not. Like, that's the major question mark, right? But,
you know, Fotanu here actually would be a really good pick, because the problem in the discourse at six is like, okay, we take Joe Alt, and then it's this musical chairs of what do we do? But man, Fotanu really kind of solves that problem, because you draft him to play guard, and then say Evan Neal's struggling, you just swap him. You put Fotanu at right tackle. He's the most versatile, so he might be the best option.
My only other one that I'm thinking of is, I know that we haven't seen him in a spot because we haven't seen Giants trade back in a mock draft much, but Brian Thomas Jr. makes a lot of sense to me at 12, man. Like, that makes a lot of sense with the vertical element, the outside receiver. I mean, the Giants have that a little bit with a Darius Slayton, but they don't have, I mean, like, he's a supercharged Darius Slayton is what he is. Like, he's just a much better athlete than Darius is overall, right? So I'm between Brian Thomas and Troy Fontanu, man. Like, that's, dang, what is, Shane's their GM, right? Joe Shane, I think, is the Giants GM.
Joe Shane, yeah.
Is he a trenches guy? Is he a skill guy? Like, I don't know enough about him, I guess, is my question.
I mean, think of how the Bills have drafted, because that's where he came. I think it'd go either way. So whichever you think would be the best decision there.
Haven't seen this one, but give me Brian Thomas Jr. at 12 to New York Giants. A different one, but I like it. Like it a lot.
Okay, the Las Vegas Raiders, I think that there's two options here, that they go Troy Fotanu, or they take the first corner off the board. I think because of how bad their secondary is, and like, I'm looking at one of their outside corners is Jacorian Bennett, and opposite of him is Jack Jones. God, they need a corner.
It stinks. Yeah, their corner.
Like, they need a hole in the head. So we're going to go with Nate Wiggins here.
You think he goes first? You think he goes first off the board? I mean,
I mean, we've been in on Nate Wiggins this whole time. Yeah. I mean, he is, we've been supporters of him. I think that there is a market for Quinyon Mitchell to be the first one to go, but I'm banking on the fact that Wiggins is the most physically gifted. I think that he's got the highest ceiling of the group, as we've talked about. So let's go Nate Wiggins there, 13 for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay, that's fair enough. So New Orleans Saints, another really poorly kept secret that they need offensive tackles. They just need one desperately, sir. I mean, because again, Trevor Penning has not been a guy so far. I know he's been banged up this first couple years as well, but he's not been an answer so far. Ryan Ramczyk, the career, I mean, like, what is he going to be able to play this year fully? Is he going to last this year with the injury? Like, a lot of question marks. I am between two guys here, Joe, at offensive tackle, because Troy Fatanu is an awesome player, right? But they need a true tackle on the board right now. They need a guy that there's no doubt is going to play tackle. So the two guys are Olufoshinu and Amarius Mims to me. Those are the two guys. I think most teams will opt for Olufoshinu just because he's played a lot more football, right? He's played a ton more football. The only 8 career starts for Amarius Mims. I think some offensive line coaches are going to – they're going to be hesitant on that a little bit, right? I still think he goes top 20 probably, because he's such a gifted and just incredible athlete. And I think Dane Brugler said recently on a podcast that if 4 or 5 years from now we look back and Amarius Mims is the best tackle in the 2024 NFL draft class, he wouldn't be shocked at all, and neither would I be, right? So, but give me Olu for this, because I think that he can step in potentially at left tackle. Maybe you can even move Penning if he's healthy and good inside the guard, because he's a little bit of a mauling presence anyway. So give me Olufoshinu, 14 to the New Orleans Saints.
Indianapolis Colts, if Brock Bowers is no longer on the board, I think that it makes the most sense for them to take the next tackle. And one of my favorite picks when I've done mock drafts has been Amarius Mims ending up with the Indianapolis Colts. And I think that one, as we're talking about here, it's a blessing and a curse that he's only got 8 starts, as you're talking about, where it's a little concerning because you wonder, one, how healthy can he consistently be? And then two, is he too inexperienced to be worthy of a first round pick? But the inverse of that is we can do whatever we want with him. We can put him at left tackle. We can put him at right tackle. The offensive line play for the Colts, I think, was very unsteady. So if you're trying to keep Anthony Richardson healthy, let's get him the most physically gifted offensive tackle in the class. So throw Amarius Mims to the Colts.
All right. Seattle Seahawks edge. I think that their type is actually, I mean, they've had several types. Now I think about it just historically as a, I know it's a different staff now, obviously, than what we saw previously with Pete Carroll, but I think that the conversation is going to be between Laiatu Latu and Jared Verse. I've heard some mixed reviews on Latu's medicals. Again, I don't want to put anything out there just because I don't have enough information, but I've heard some whispers that like there's some that are a little unsettled with it. So give me Jared Verse at 16 to the Seattle Seahawks. I think he presents, obviously, great power profile, speed to power. I just think he's about a high floor of a pass rusher as you'll find in this class. There's guys like Dallas Turner that have more upside, but Jared Verse, I think we're really sleeping on as an excellent player. I mean, not to let the cat out of the bag, Joe, but when we do our big board show this week as well, I mean, Jared Verse is going to be a top 10 player for me, man. He's going to be a top 10 player. So give me Jared Verse at 16 for value.
Number 17, I really love the thought of getting a defensive back for the Jaguars to just really solidify their secondary and the performance on the defensive side of the football, because we know, assuming Trevor Lawrence is healthy, their offense is going to carry them. I've been really hooked on sending them Quinyon Mitchell, the Toledo DB. Really good instincts, really good tackler, very fluid, easy mover. He has been a star throughout this process, so throwing the Toledo DB to the Jaguars helps give them a nice boost, which they've seemingly not been able to figure out that corner position. Maybe Mitchell is a more steadier player than the guys that they have taken shots on. Cincinnati Bengals at 18. Who you got?
Cincinnati is a very interesting one. They're another team that would love Brock Bowers to be there, but obviously Brock Bowers no longer on the board. Can you show me the offensive tackle group real quick, Joe? Because I think
that's a good option spot. Though.
Yeah, man. Why does something tell me that J.C. Latham would be their type? I don't know why it's telling me that, but like he might be their type. I'm going to take Troy Fotanu, though, just because I think that Fotanu could potentially play tackle for them at either spot if you needed him to. But also, I know for sure that he could play inside at guard. So I think that versatility adds just the best player on the board. The only other spot I was thinking about was interior defensive line. If you wanted to have the But for Byron Murphy or Jerzon Newton be the first interior defense lineman off the board, but I'm going to go with Troy Fotanu to the Cincinnati Bengals.
So Peter Schrager here for 19 with the Rams. His mock draft, he reported on the fact that he thinks that because the Rams, if they don't trade out, that they would be positioned or be interested in taking an offensive player because Sean McVay is an offensive guy. And I also trust that because I believe Schrager and McVay have a really good relationship. So any information there makes sense. The inverse of that, him trying to create smoke because he's buddies with him, that's also very possible.
Yes.
I'm going to go with off of that instinct where I think that they do maybe swing an offensive player and they do need tackle help and just some, not necessarily like an urgent need.
They need left tackle help though. They don't need right tackle help. They have Rob Havenstein at right tackle. I don't know if the dream, if Amarius Mims was on the board, I think that that's a very interesting player to potentially transition over to left tackle. But
yeah,
I just don't know if J.C. Latham can play left tackle in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of where my sticking point is there.
There's no offensive players that I'm looking at that entice me. So I'm going to go with Laiatu Latu. Their edge situation is a little bit dire. I know that they've had some late around guys that have been productive, but Aaron Donald being gone is going to create a serious void in the pressure that they're going to be generating. I feel like the Steelers has to be a lineman, whoever's best available.
They're a J.C. Latham team, I think. Yeah, I'll go J.C. Latham just because they're a team that I think can upgrade multiple spots. I would love to give, again, left tackle would be preferred, but you can move Broderick Jones over to left tackle. You bring J.C. Latham, you plug him at right tackle. At worst comes to worst, J.C. should be able to also play inside a guard if you needed him to as well. So I have major hesitation over J.C. Latham, but I do feel like the Steelers, that's a type of player that would fit well with them.
Insane how high Mason McCormick is ranked on PFF. The Miami Dolphins are freaking out in excitement because Jackson Powers Johnson did not go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. This has to be one of the funny, or not the funniest, but like just the most intriguing dynamics of this 2021 pick, because whoever the Steelers take really alters the perspective of what happens with the Dolphins, because they both need a center. And I don't know if Frazier is worthy of going in that 20 overall spot. So Jackson Powers Johnson, man, their interior offensive line has not been good. They've been putting a million different guys at center. It's been so unsettled. Eichenberg's not a center, who played center some last year. So for them to get Jackson Powers Johnson, who could either play center or he could play guard, they got to find a body, man. And he's a really good one to really anchor the unit.
Yeah, no, that one makes a ton of sense. Joe, ready for this one? So the Eagles, I think, would be interesting. Like, if Troy Fotanu was on the board, the Eagles would be doing somersalts, dude. Like, I think that's the, because they have a massive need at right guard. And then if, when Lane Johnson retires in a couple years, if maybe he could transition to right tackle after he's gone, like, Fotanu would be their guy. Defensive back, I think, is, well, I was going to say defensive back, I think, is a need, because you have Darius Slay, who's nearing the end. James Bradbury, who was really bad last year. They have a couple younger corners like Keely Ringo and Eli Ricks that they like. But also, I think there's a little bit of a need at safety, even though they signed Chauncey Gardner-Johnson as well. So the perfect player to fill multiple needs in a secondary, Joe, is Cooper DeJean, man. Bring him. He could play outside corner, he could play nickel, or he could play safety for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2024. One of the better all-around football players in the class.
Yeah, that is a slam dunk pick for the Eagles trying to fix their secondary. Patriots back on the board, and as I alluded to earlier, they're going to be eyeing taking a receiver. I hate the receiver rankings that PFF has, but if they took Ladd McConkey, Patriots fans would laugh their asses off. If they took Keon Coleman, they might have a conniption because of N'Keal Harry.
Ladd McConkey would not be a bad pick to New England. That would not be a bad pick, honestly. I know the white slot receiver thing, but like, he'd be a good player for them, man. A player that they kind of need, but yeah.
A.D. Mitchell had a really good combine, and I think that his profile would be a nice starting piece for that receiver room and for them to start to build a little bit of momentum to improving the talent in that receiver room. So I'm going to go with A.D. Mitchell as the Patriots pick.
All right. I think that it would be a dang shame if the Dallas Cowboys had to draft in back-to-back years first round defensive tackles. But I think last year you made a really big mistake drafting Mozzie Smith. And I think that that's not going to stop them necessarily from bolstering that unit, because they need to get better up front, man, outside of Micah Parsons. Like, they need to take some attention away from him. And although I would always draft Jerzon Newton above Byron Murphy, as long as the character stuff checked out, I think Byron Murphy is going to be the first defensive tackle off the board, Joe. Just believe it, man, at this point. So give me Byron Murphy to the Dallas Cowboys. I don't disagree. But if you're asking me predictive, who do I think is going to be off the board? I feel like it's going to be Byron Murphy, man. There's a lot of smoke right there. I mean, literally, Daniel Jeremiah just said in a press conference, or maybe it was just a podcast or a radio spot, I don't know what it was, but he said that he thought that there was a possibility Byron Murphy could go top 10 in this class, right? So there's a lot of smoke out there, man, from some reputable people. Byron Murphy, I think, is the first D tackle off the board.
Makes me want to vomit. The Packers, their offensive line's been a little shaky, especially moving on from David Bakhtiari. I am enticed by Graham Barton here. Now, I'm not the biggest Graham Barton fan, but I've for some reason have all these Packers fans who follow me.
They love Graham Barton, bro. They love Graham Barton. Yeah. They are obsessed with Graham
Barton. I'm going to go with Graham Barton. I think that kind of what we talked to, he's a poor man's Troy Fotanu, where he's not as athletic and explosive, but he can play different roles. So him coming, maybe playing center, maybe playing guard, depending on how things stack up during training camp, I would go with Graham Barton here as that 25th overall pick for the Packers.
that is like the worst case scenario for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because they need a center desperately with Jensen retiring, man. Desperately. I'm sure they were hoping that Jackson Powers Johnson or Grant Martin were going to be off on the board, because that could help them potentially inside at center pretty quickly. Zach Frazier, I mean, 26 is a little early for Frazier, in my opinion, but
yeah,
I mean, do they have a massive need on this board right now, though, of a player that makes a ton of sense for them right now, though? I mean, you just read the Kalijah Maybe Kansi, edge. You have Vita Vea. Edge, I guess. I mean, wait, who's on the edge?
They could trade out. What trade outs?
Yeah, let's trade out. Here? Let's please trade out. I don't know who we want to trade with, but I don't think that they're going to like where that board is at 26. Man. I like options. Zach Frazier, but I think more 30s for Zach Frazier would be a lot more comfortable for this team. That's just my.
Wait, you want to really stir some shit? Do you want to?
Yeah.
Let's do Raiders trade back in, and they're going to give up their first rounder, their second round pick, a bunch of crap. They're going to trade back in. Are they going to not accept it? Okay, forced trade. we're not playing any games. So the Raiders trade back in, and I will let you do the honors. Who would they pick?
Oh my god, a quarterback? I would take Bo Nix, but I think they would take Michael Penix. I don't know.
Okay.
I think
it's Penix.
Huh?
I feel like it's Penix.
It might be Penix if they did this. I think both of them are going to be second round picks, but like if someone's trading back in for quarterback 5, I feel like it's going to be Michael Penix. All right, give me Michael Penix, I guess.
Ooh,
I hate that, but I hate it so much. But yeah.
Oh man, that's a spicy one. I really love it. Okay,
Raiders, so the Cardinals Raiders fans are going to hate us, dude. They're going to hate us.
No, they like us. Penix. No, they won't. I've seen a love for Penix. I don't think that there's much hate for him. Number 27, the Cardinals got Marvin Harrison Jr. They need some DB help. Gannon is a defensive minded coach. So Terrion Arnold, throwing him into the secondary. Their starting corners, man, are not very exciting. So any defensive help, any bodies are going to be good for them. Adding in Terrion Arnold gets you a really boosted floor to your secondary.
Yep.
Bills receiver.
It makes a lot of sense for the Cardinals because they've needed a corner forever. Yes, Bill, it has to be a wide receiver, I think. I mean, yeah, with how this board is falling, I think it has to be a wide receiver. I'm going to go Ladd McConkey, man. There's something about that. Mm. There's just something about that. I think that they would have loved A.D. Mitchell to be on the board for the outside vertical threat, but another guy that ran, 4.4 flat, like ran really fast. He's explosive. He can work inside and out a bit. I mean, people kind of qualify Ladd McConkey as a slot receiver, but he played 70% of his snaps on the outside for Georgia the last 2 years. So he could definitely play on the outside. Give me Ladd McConkey to the Buffalo Bills.
Man, I don't think I've ever had to make a quicker pick. Lions ending up with Jerjon Newton. Again, that is such an identity consistent pick. You're going with the physical, disruptive interior guy. You throw him in the mix of an already strong defensive line.
With Aleem McNeil next to him, dude, that's pretty good. That's pretty good interior line. Dude, that's pretty good.
They're going to be unstoppable to block. So Jerjon Newton, holy hell. That's going to be one of those picks where we're saying in a couple of years, why did we let this happen? How did this guy end up in their lap and they ended up taking him? Ravens are a tough one to figure out.
Can you go to interior offensive line for me? I want to see something real quick. Dang. They're going to start Andrew Voorhees at guard this year for the Baltimore Ravens.
That is concerning.
Dude, I was thinking about Christian Haynes, man. I'm still thinking though a little bit. Can you show me the edge board real quick? Show me the edges real quick. And we'll go from there. We'll go from there. Is there anybody? God, I hate this board. They might be a trade candidate if this is the board they have. Let me see corner one more time, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay.
Oh, I already know. Kool-Aid McKinstry makes a lot of sense. He seems like a Baltimore Ravens player. Couldn't you say a Kool-Aid McKinstry in the Baltimore Ravens secondary? Let's go with that.
See, if I'm the 49ers, I am pissed because that would have been a slam dunk pick.
Yes.
Because they need corners. I'm going to say that out of frustration, they just take Man, there are not a lot of good options for them after that. Miles Harden is high. Wow, that is
big.
That
Miles is Harden guy. Trevor Sigma, big Miles Harden guy, man. Bigger Miles Harden guy.
Wow, this is gross.
I wouldn't be shocked if there's a couple of center. The starting center is, I know that actually. That's
I'm pulling up their lineup right now.
I was just looking at their offense the other day.
Jake Brendel.
Brendel, yeah, that went to UCLA. Yep. Yep.
God, man, this is wow, this is a really tough one.
It is.
You know, I'm gonna go with Jordan Morgan. I think that because you can throw him in a guard, and Banks has not been good, so we're gonna go with Jordan Morgan there.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit, man. It was good.
Good.
Yeah.
Which receiver for the Chiefs?
Well, show me the tackle board first. Actually, show me the tackle board first. I want to see who's there. I want to see who's off at that.
Oh, Kingsley.
Give me Kingsley. Yeah, man. I like Kingsley Sumatea. And quietly, the offensive tackles for the Chiefs have been pretty bad the last couple years, man. Like, they've not been very good. I know wide receiver is the easy one, but I just don't like the wide receiver there board there at number 32.
All right. Well, this ends up being the recap of our mock draft. I'm liking the way that this came out. Folks, leave a comment. Hit the subscribe button, give us a 5-star review on podcast version, and we'll talk to you folks later.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.